I thought I'd look tonight at a passage, well-known passage, in Matthew chapter 6. So do turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. And part of an extended section of teaching that Jesus brings, and verse 19, just verse 19 through to 21. So Jesus speaking here, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Lord, thank you for much wisdom, direction, insight, and just revelation that comes to us from your word. And I do pray that as we consider this passage tonight, that you would, Lord, challenge us and stir our hearts to that which is significantly meaningful and honoring to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I think most of us have been quite disturbed at the increasing price of petrol. You won't believe this, but my first car was a Volkswagen variant. I don't even think many of you know what that is. It cost me 10 rand to fill my tank when I was a student. 10 rand and my tank was full of petrol. The other day I filled my car and I noticed from January to just this week, it's gone up another 200 rand to fill my tank. Another bit of useless information, I guess, is when I was younger, and that's 45 years ago, you could buy two chappies for 1 cent. Did you know that? I think, I'm not sure, what do you pay for a chappie today? Is it 50 cents? 50 cents? 50 cents for one chappie. Now my point that I'm trying to make in this introduction is that if you're stashing your money in a safe, you're actually being very, very unwise. It simply is not a good investment. You'll be wasting your money. There are better approaches to investing your finances, your money that you get month in and month out. And so this morning, at least this evening, I want you to ask a question to begin with as we look at this passage. Is what is your investment strategy? How do you think about investment and the way you, what you do with, to begin with, at least thinking about money. My dad was a guy who liked to accumulate things, and in fact, yesterday we remembered my dad's death. He passed away 14 years ago. But when he died and we were cleaning up his things, I found a number of bags of coins. His sister used to work at Barclays Bank, it was called in those days. He managed to get a whole bunch of these cloth bags, and he saved his money. He saved his money in these bags. I still have them in my cupboard because they're still full of money, but the money is useless. It's useless because they 1 cent, the old 1 cent pieces, those of you who are 50 plus, you'll remember them, and the half cent pieces. So I've got bags of those, of that money. And my point is, it is worthless. I think the only useful thing we've done down through the years is when my boys were little, I used some of those coins to make medals for them for a theme for their birthday party, along the army theme. Now, I think it would be true to say that other people, and perhaps many of you, have done a better job with investments. What you've done with your money, what you're doing with your money. Perhaps some of you younger people are thinking about how you're going to become rich and how you're going to use the money that you earn once you've graduated from university. And so you'll be able to buy cars and furniture and books and houses and perhaps even go on overseas holidays. I do want us to think about investment strategies. Financially, it makes good sense to be wise in what you do with your money and how you invest that money. Don't put it in a bag. Don't put it under the mattress. It's not going to be worth anything 40, 50, 60 years down the line. But I want to go beyond finances today because this passage, Jesus has something to say about investment strategies. He wants us to think about what you do with what you've got. What you do with the things that you get in this life. And he knows that we people are shrewd. We like to think so that there can be some kind of success. And so he challenges, I think, our shrewd human logic by getting us to think about wise investment beyond this life. And so he says here, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth. And so my first question then would be, well, why not? Why not stash things here on earth? Why is Jesus discouraging this fanatical, maybe obsessive kind of collecting and stashing of cash, this relentless accumulating of assets down in the world? Why would he say that? Is it because earthly treasures are bad? Is it bad to have money in the bank? Is it bad to have a nice house? Is it bad to have a pension fund? No. Jesus is not objecting to that at all. He's trying to get you to think about something better. He's simply trying to make the point over here, understand that this earthly treasure doesn't last. It's not bad, it just doesn't last. So, don't store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. Do you get the point? So it's not that investing things on earth is necessarily bad. It's just, what's the point? They're all going to disappear. In the roof of my garage, I have stashed away my fishing equipment. Also stuff from my dad. He and I, as many, many years ago, me as a little boy and him, he would take me fishing. And I still have the tent that he and I camped in. My kids know it. It's a blue canvas tent. It's one of these kind of A-frame tents. I don't think you get those kind of tents anymore. I've got it in the roof, but the problem, it's not useful to use anymore. And the reason is because after 45 and 50 years, that tent is now perished. If I pitch the tent and it rains, it's going to leak. The water is going to run in on the outside. In fact, some of the ropes that the pegs fit onto are just torn. The tent is done. It's gone. My fishing equipment, I've got the fishing rods, some of the fishing rods there. And if you know anything about fishing, the fishing rods have little eyelets all the way down to the point. Well, some of those are either off or they're gone. The fishing reels no longer as efficient as they ought to be. Now I say that this evening because I want you to think about the stuff that you have treasured and are treasuring. Isn't it true that for all of our so-called earthly treasures, they rot, they get old, they become useless? Even thinking about that smartphone that you've got. My daughter, I don't know what she thinks, but she's trying to twist my arm, saying, Daddy, I need an iPhone X. Wrong daddy. All right? But is the iPhone X is going to be, I don't know what, the iPhone XV next, I think. And because the iPhone X, or those of you who still have iPhone, what was the first generation? iPhone 4. I think was the first generation. I've got one laying in my cupboard. None of my kids even want it. Because that which was treasured yesterday is actually redundant today. In fact, there's a proverb in the Old Testament, 23 verse 5. Listen to this. When your eyes light on it, riches. In other words, when you see it, iPhone X, whatever it is that your eyes light on, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. And that's the repeated teaching of the scripture. Sooner or later, your earthly treasure will disappear. It will disappear. And Jesus is warning us. He's saying, be careful not to store up treasures on earth just so that it will be lost. Gone. Can I say that it will always be lost? Maybe some of you are thinking, hang on, you're exaggerating, you're using hyperbole here. No, I'm not exaggerating. It either leaves you while you are alive. You can make a bad investment, and some people have made bad investments, and their money leaves them while they're alive. Or you leave it when you die. Without exception, therefore, these earthly treasures will most definitely be lost. Now there's a question. Does that mean that the Christian, the believer, should not provide for the future? Should we be people who are saying, well, we're not going to save money for pension, for a rainy day, or be responsible with our finances? No. Because remember, we want to understand what all of the Bible says, and godly wisdom in fact dictates hard work and provision for the rainy day. Again, I go to the book of the Proverbs. I'd love to preach a sermon on this, and I may do in coming weeks. Proverbs 6 verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So what does the ant do? The ant works diligently so that there is food stored up for the rainy day. So we ought to be responsible. And so the emphasis here is not that responsible planning is something God does not want you to do. The emphasis is that Jesus is showing that there is a better way. There's a more lasting way. There's a greater thing that we ought to do. The investment strategy here goes beyond equities and bonds and property, and that has its place. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Are you doing that? Are you investing treasures in heaven? Earth's currency is going to become worthless. I think some South Africans are currently worrying that the South African rand is going to become like the Zimbabwean dollar. And if you know anybody from Zimbabwe, you know that money is worthless. Well, eventually that's going to happen to the United States dollar too. It's also going to happen to the euro and to every other currency. Earth's currency will become worthless, either in economic collapse at some point in time, or when Jesus returns, or when you die, whichever comes first. And so Jesus says, hang on a minute, you need to switch primary investment vehicles. What are you doing with what you've got, what God has given you? And transfer the emphasis of your treasure from the earth, which is volatile and unpredictable and actually pointless, to heaven, which is totally dependable, insured by God Himself forever, because it will replace the earth currency. Which leads me to my next question. How do you store up treasures in heaven? How do you do that? Well, I know it's easy for us to identify treasures on earth. And it's not just an accumulation of money. I think we need to understand it broader than that. Treasures on earth would include anything or anyone that we believe will bring some kind of satisfaction into our lives in the present. So the earthly type of treasure that we could identify would be things even like ambition. Giving yourself to a certain ambition, wanting to become a certain person, and investing your life and effort and energy, all that you have and are, into that thing. That's earthly. In a hobby, perhaps in a relationship, in a particular dream. Anything that holds out an irresistible promise to satisfy your longing. But I want to summarize it in two different components. From what I can see, two components. The first is anything that is an earthbound absorption. Anything earthbound that consumes you. And the second is anything that is just selfish, for me, for myself. Those are earthly treasures. God gives us some insight into heavenly treasure and how we can accumulate these. We in fact can look at the Bible. You can turn to your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want to focus on this verse for the next little while in this message. Paul, you're writing to a young pastor and giving him some advice with regard to rich people in the congregation. But of course the principles apply to all. And I think, as I've said before, rich is a relative thing. There are so many different personal experiences and aspects of richness, but this is what he says in verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, in other words, those with the things, assets, charge them not to be haughty, in other words, proud, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Okay, so there again, don't invest in earthly things. But set your hopes, or their hopes, on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Verse 19. Thus, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for their future. In other words, this is the way you can store for yourself treasure in heaven. So the two components, again, two components. The one being, are you someone with the life that God has given you, are you setting your hopes on God? Is God the focus of your energy and attention? Setting your hopes on God. The other from that particular verse is not only setting your hopes on God, but setting your hopes on, or at least not setting your hopes, but having a heart for other people. It's as simple as that. A focus on God, devoted to God, giving yourself to God, and sharing that which you have with others. So the investment strategy for me is clear here. It's a God-centeredness, touching every area of life, feeding attitudes of godly generosity to others. Can't live as an island. Can't live independent. If we go back to that passage again, you can see the specifics. Hope set on God. Remember, God is the giver of every good gift. In fact, if you read on in Matthew chapter 6, he goes on to speak about them not being anxious and the way that God provides for the birds of the air. God is the provider. God is the giver of every good gift. But the second component, rich in good works. Of course, being concerned about those who have less than us. The being merciful to the destitute and the weak. A little bit later in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus makes the point to a rich man. He says, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You see, again, there's a principle Jesus is making here. There is a way in which you can act, a way in which you behave, a way in which you can be generous to others that will provide investment for eternity. So the greater work. Of course, we know. How do we care for others? Understand, the Bible tells us, the New Testament, it's obeying the commandments of God, but it's also making disciples in our generosity and readiness to share the good news that we have received, the forgiveness that we have, the grace that we have, giving to others what we have received from Jesus. Now, I want to pause there in application for this message. Are you investing in the ministry at Central Baptist Church? We think of ourselves practically, it's just developed this way. We have three congregations. Little bit of overlap here and there. We have a congregation up at the hill, far east of Pretoria. We have a morning congregation here in Arcadia. And we have this evening congregation. And as a church, we have members. We have adherents, people who align themselves with the Central Baptist Church. People who invest in the ministry of the Central Baptist Church. People who are in partnership with the Central Baptist Church. And this message is intended tonight to challenge your investment thinking through this particular instrument, the church that you belong to, that you are aligned to. Now, here's some disturbing information. We take up the offering in the evenings, evening congregation. You know what a good Sunday evening offering yields? You think it's maybe 10,000? 300 rand. That's bad. Or perhaps I could be optimistic and be thinking tonight, well, it is because everybody who comes to the evening congregation is investing in this particular instrument via EFT. Maybe. We don't know because there's anonymous giving in the church. But understand the challenge. You know, we ought to be thinking where are we investing our resources? And maybe you're saying to yourself, but hang on, is the church the right kind of instrument that leads to investment? Of course it is. The church is God's creation. It's of God's making. Jesus gave himself for the church. Jesus said he's building his church. Jesus set the church aside, and in fact we're told in the New Testament by the apostles that each member serves the other. You see the good works being done in ministry, one to the other. How does missions happen? We have Warren yet tonight. Warren is preparing himself to go to Tanzania to join Ofensi and Moshe. They serve the Tanzanian people. What are they doing? They're investing in not on the earth but in heavenly treasure by sharing the gospel with others. And there's Avon and AJ in Japan, and there's Darren in South America, and so the church is God's instrument. And of course the very nature of our society and the way we function and are organized in a city is we have a building. We could meet under a tree, but I don't think anybody will come. So we have a building. And so this building costs money. Believe it or not, it's got to be maintained. It's got to be painted. We have to pay water and lights, and we have responsibilities to make it look good. We need security because we're in an area where there's lots of security issues. There are people employed in ministry. Again, the church has partnerships in other areas of Christian ministry where good works have been done. Like, for example, the Baptist Union or Baptist Theological College or Bethesda Outreach Ministry, Orphan Care or Campus Outreach. These are all ministries where there is good work being done, which is producing, if we go back to that passage, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. So I'm challenging us here tonight as an evening congregation. What can we do? What can you personally do? I challenge my children. The reason we've introduced Snap Scan at the back of the bulletin, because you all have iPhone X's and it's easy to do, isn't it? Snap Scan. Giving, because we don't carry cash. But it's a way of investing. It's a way of giving. It's a way of honoring the Lord. Now I want to ask a last question. Why should you store up treasures in heaven? Why should that be an issue for you? What does it say about you? Well, verse 21 gives the answer. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does that mean? Now some people would interpret this and say, but this means that me focusing my life on God, me caring for others, me investing money in the local church or in missions or anything else is a way that I can earn credit with God. That's wrong. We can't earn credit with God. That's just not possible. And so therefore we can't interpret that particular passage as, or see it as a ladder. There's a much better understanding of what this verse is. Jesus is saying here that believers, I think most of us here tonight would acknowledge ourselves or confess ourselves to be believers. We're believers. What do we say? And Jeff read the passage tonight from Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in transgressions and sin. But then as the passage unfolds, but by grace you have been saved through faith. This is a gift from God. So in other words, salvation, this salvation that you have received, is something that God has given you free of charge. So I'm not suggesting tonight that you need to invest in the church so that you can earn your salvation. You can't. Your salvation is a gift you simply receive. God is giving that. He's offering it to you. Will you receive it? So what this phrase is really saying here, it's a mirror. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, if you look at how you expend that which is in your wallet, it'll tell you where your allegiance is. Is it in worldly treasure or is it in heavenly treasure? It will tell you whether you are consumed with yourself and the present, or whether your heart has been captured by God and His glory and grace. That's essentially what he's saying here. It reflects the allegiance of your heart, either to this world and self or to God and godliness. You see, folk, the point that Jesus makes here is when you discover the reality and blessing and treasure of Christ in who He is and the joy of knowing Him, man, then we want to do what pleases Him and honors Him and counts for Him. It's no wonder Paul says in Philippians, whatever gain I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Jesus is the first and most important treasure. And therefore the particular investment strategy that you have exposes your heart. It exposes your spiritual condition. It's like what James says. Someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So why do you store, or why should you store up treasure in heaven? Not because you think you can tip the scales somehow in favor in God's eyes. No, no, no. You and I are to store treasure in heaven because we know we are not permanent residents in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are looking forward to a city that has foundations and designer and builder who is God. And so we live our lives differently to the world. We live our lives as stewards, understanding that all that we have. Some of you have lots of money. Some of you have got lots of brains, I think. Some of you are capable with your hands and your feet. Some people have assets. All of this is from God. All of this is from God. And the intention is that you use it for the glory and purposes of God. You see, the man of the world, person who is not a true believer, holds on to what he can very tightly, because he lives for the present. Whereas the Christian says, no, I'm not the owner of these things. I have them on trust. I'm a custodian. I cannot take them with me. I can only use them in ways that honor God. Here's a quotation, and then I'm going to close with a conclusion. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a preacher last century. United Kingdom, he was a man used greatly of God. And this is what he wrote on this particular passage. He says, I do not cling to these things, speaking of things of the world. They do not become the center of my life and existence. I do not live for them or dwell upon them constantly in my mind. They do not absorb my life. On the contrary, I hold them loosely. I'm not governed by them. Rather do I govern them. And as I do this, I'm steadily securing and safely laying up for myself treasures in heaven. So can I introduce into your life and worldview tonight the thinking of how you use what you've got in a way that would be laying up for yourself treasures in heaven? Conclusion, I have two comments, two outcomes. You see, you make decisions, and many of you are young people tonight. You'll make decisions, and life will pass you by. All of us passes us by. And then one of two things will happen. There is the risk of wasting your life. And I want to suggest that if you invest your efforts and energy simply into this life and the things of this world, eventually you waste your life. You're just accumulating treasure on earth, and then you leave it. You'll be so busy with all sorts of passions and projects and achievements, but your life will amount to nothing. Actually, you'll be like, I think, like a dog chasing his tail. Busy, but going nowhere. Like the man who spent all his wealth on himself. Remember that passage in the Bible? He planned to tear down his barns and build bigger ones, storing up for himself so he could retire and take life easy. What did God say to him? God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Young people, think about that. Think about that. The second option is the better, the right option. The return of a great reward. And I could share many passages with respect to this, but I've chosen one. Matthew 19. "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake," says Jesus, "will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Would you consider switching investment strategies, if it is not so already? Not focused on the world. Being responsible, yes. I need to be responsible. You need to be responsible. We should not be wasteful. I tell my boys, they're working now, and I say to them, "Guys, remember that one day you will retire. You will need to look after your wife. You'll need to be able to live and not have an income. So be responsible. Be responsible. But not obsessed. Invest in that which has eternal value. Resolve to invest by giving yourself first to God, yourself personally, but then regularly also the things that you have from God, to give sacrificially, to give willingly, proportionately, excellently, because of grace that you have received. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that this passage would be of great challenge to us all. And we so easily, Lord, confess that we retracted to the immediate and the desire to satisfy our inclinations and desires with that which the world has to offer right now. And I pray that instead you would give us a mind, Lord, where you have captured our minds, where we are taken and absorbed by the magnificence of who you are, as this God we sang about tonight, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pray that we would be captivated by the gospel, that you've gripped our heart with this free gift of salvation in Jesus, and Lord, willingly wanting to share with others that which you have given to us. And in so doing, laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, that you may be glorified and honored. That our lives, Lord, would not be wasted, but that each life here tonight would count in the eternal purposes of all that you would do. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His glory alone. Amen. Amen. Amen.